Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
So the title of the message is The Way God Blesses. You can also say, watch your step. That would work as well. Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. We need the kids sitting with parents, just as long as we got parents and kids together, or at least with an adult. All right? All right, so Psalms chapter 1 is kind of an introductory psalm. It sets the tone for all the rest, 150 chapters, okay, that follow it. 149 chapters that follow it. So it is this introductory psalm, just kind of giving us the tone. It's a very good psalm. How many have ever been lost? You're driving and you're lost. All right. Okay. And guys, will guys look at a map? Okay, that's pretty much unanimous. All right. Because we know where we're going, right? In fact, I even got lost a little bit on Friday, yes. I was going to a business to pick up some stuff for the project in the back room, and I knew it was in a certain area, but it took us a few wrong turns before we finally got there, right? All right, so we finally brought it up on the map. My wife says, no, you need to turn this way, and then we got there. So it helps to follow a map, and when we think about that, God has given us a map, a guideline to follow, and it's His Word, isn't it? And often we want to just kind of go it on our own. We want to try to figure it out. And a lot of people do that in life. They say, I'm just going to try and figure it out. And sometimes it works out for them, and sometimes it doesn't. A lot of times it doesn't, okay? And sometimes all of a sudden they hit a dead end, and then it's kind of like, okay, I need to find the map. Where's the map at? They dig out their God's Word, and they begin to seek God, okay? So this psalm talks about a path. It talks about walking. And so that's a Hebrew word in the Old Testament. It's called derech, but it means a way, a path that we choose. And Scripture has a lot to say about that. Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate, right? For the wide gate and the broad road leads to destruction. But the small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to eternal life, and few find it. Why? Because they're not following the map. They're not following the map. So let's look at Psalms 1 and look at the way that God blesses and the way that we should walk. Father, we thank You for Your Word. It is life to us. It does guide us down the path of life. And we pray that this isn't a difficult message, Lord, to understand. It is a difficult message to sometimes live out in our life. Because we want to do our own thing. We think we know better than God. And we want to chart our own path. And God, You've given us Your pathway. You've given us Your Word to guide us, to save us from destruction, to save us from harmful things in our life, so that we can know eternal life. So Father, guide us this morning, and we ask a blessing over Your Word. And everybody said? Amen. All right, He begins in verse 1 saying, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, his leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so with the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. It's gone. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So let's look at this. The first thing we see in verse 1 is the way of the righteous. That's in your program. Kids, if you want to get a prize at the end, you need to fill that out for Pastor Andy. The way of the righteous. And so he talks about, blessed is the man or woman who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Blessedness is a state. It's not a matter of being lucky. It's not a matter of being fortunate. It is a happiness and a blessedness that comes from a right relationship with God and being with God. Okay? So it's not by chance. There's people that are born into wealth and stuff, right? They're born into wealth. Some people are born into poverty. But Scripture says that blessedness comes as a right relationship with God. So it is not a joy or happiness that comes from chance, but it's rather based upon our relationship with God and the decisions that one makes. So Proverbs is full of words of wisdom and stuff that we can follow, okay? And we're going to try and keep this within a certain amount of time here this morning because we're going to end with some prayer. So this blessed person does a couple things. Three things they do not do. First of all, they don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. They don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. This pertains to thinking, all right? They listen to God's word and they don't absorb the advice and the counsel of the world. And so that can come through, as believers, we're bombarded by that through how? Media, right? Whether it comes to the internet, through the TV. Who else? Where else can it come from? Where? School. So we go to school. First day of school tomorrow, and our friends, not all of them are talking like they should be talking in church, right? You know, people talk differently in church than they do out there. Did you know that? They do. All right? And they maybe don't apologize before you, but they do apologize before me because they know I'm a pastor at times, and they say, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Right? All right. You guys think that's funny. All right. But we are bombarded by the world's thinking, whether it's TV, the music, whether it's the friends we hang out with. And so the blessed person is guarding that. They're guarding their ears and they're thinking from what is happening around them. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing will. So they don't walk in the counsel of the wicked, but neither do they stand in the way of sinners. So there's a progression that's taking place here because our thinking turns into behaviors. Did you know that? And so now not only are they hanging out with the sinners and thinking like them, but now they're standing with them on the road. Right? They're walking with them down the road. They're standing in the way of sinners. This pertains to behavior and partnering with them. They're following their lifestyle. See, it starts with hearing it. It changes their thinking. Now they're standing with them. The third thing is they don't sit in the seat of mockers. This pertains to attitude. So now it's not just that they have a bad attitude, but they have an attitude that is hostile to God. And you just don't get there overnight, folks. But it happens through listening to the counsel of the wicked, standing with them on the road, and then you develop an attitude that is hostile to God. And I've seen that happen in people's life. I've seen that happen to people that have been serving God. They're following God. All of a sudden, they get in the wrong environment. They hang out with the wrong crowd. Before you know it, their attitude has changed to now they are in a place where they are hostile to God. So there's a progression. It shows three phases of departure from God, which are accepting the world's advice, participating in its ways, and adopting an attitude that is hostile to God. So the righteous person does not do those three things. But what do they do? Let's look at the delight of the righteous. That's your second point. The delight of the righteous. We talked, Tessa read about the delight, right? And the offering. If you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. That is Scripture. What does it mean to delight yourself in the Lord? It means to take pleasure in, to long after. Okay? Now, the righteous person takes their delight in the law. His delight or her delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, the law can mean a couple different things in the Old Testament. Okay, you get into the New Testament, Paul deals a lot with the law. But the law was a set of rules that they would follow. And they thought by following the rules that they would be saved and they would be righteous. Paul says, no, you're saved by faith and by the Spirit of God working in you. Okay, but in this context, the law is referring to God's Word. Okay, he delights in God's Word. And as a psalmist, he probably only had the first five books of your Bible at the most, the Pentateuch. Okay? He didn't have the prophets. He didn't have the book of Psalms because that's being written, right? Didn't have any of the New Testament. But he was delighting himself in the Word of God. Now think back, those of you that are in love, back to the days of Anna and Matthew, our newlywed couple here. They just come in and they're just lost in each other's eyes. I mean, they just look at each other. There's a delight there, right? Think back to those days. When you're dating and you're in love, do you care about how much time you're spending with that person? You go out on a date and it's kind of like, woo, it's gone, right? Because there's a delight there. You want to be with that person. It's their delight. And when the righteous person gets into God's Word, it's not like they're on the time clock and thinking, oh, I did my 10 minutes, I did my 30 minutes, I did my hour of prayer and Scripture. And I realize we have schedules, right? But it's not a matter of punching a time card or a clock saying, I got my time in. The righteous delights spending time with God and in His Word. Amen? And that's the idea of the psalmist here, is that they are delighting in God's Word. How are they doing that? First of all, they're meditating on God's Word. What does it mean to meditate? Meditate actually means to be like a cow chewing its cud. Okay, so you all have to go, okay, come on, I need to see some of you do, right? Right? That's what they do. They just kind of, they chew on it, right? They don't just, and it's say, another thing, if you want to lose weight, they say to chew your food longer. Because some of us, we just, it's just gone. My dog doesn't even chew his food. It's just kind of like he inhales it. Okay. Chew your food. And when you get into God's Word, just don't read through it and you forgot what you read, right? You ever done that? You just read through it and it's gone, right? You do. Okay. Meditate on it. Read what you've read and go over it and say, okay, what does he mean by that? What does he mean by meditate? What does it mean to be delight in the Word of God? Think about it. Begin in the day and then take that to your work or to school. Yeah, that's going to be there. You can pick it up if it's going to bother you, though. What does it mean to think about some of those things? Take it with you throughout your day and think about, okay, what did I just read this morning? How does that apply to my life? What is God? You know what? And as you think about it, as you meditate on it, God will come by His Spirit, and He's going to give you, He's going to inspire that, and He's going to illuminate that, and He's going to provide some meaning to that throughout the day. But meditate on God's Word. Let it sink into your heart and to your soul. Then it becomes part of who you are. Does that make sense? Meditate on God's Word. So I believe that happens in several things. Memorization was a big thing when I was younger. How many remember memorization? You'd be part of a Wednesday night club or Sunday school, and you'd memorize. You'd have your memory verse, right, for the week. Okay, Andy, do we have a memory verse? We do, don't we?
Yeah.
We do, right? Yeah, on Wednesday nights, right? Okay. So there's a memory verse, and it's not just there again. It's not to say, hey, you know what, I've memorized something. But with memory, then I can go wherever I go, and I have it up here, right? And God can recall that. I can think about it. I can meditate on it because I've put it to memory. In fact, many of the young men and women in the Jewish tradition would memorize the first five books of the Bible. How many think you could do that? That would be your quiz, right? We could actually do it because people in Bible quiz, I had friends that were in Bible quiz and they'd memorize whole books of the New Testament. They'd memorize them word for word. And they had it easy when it came to the Bible classes at Bible school. I'll just say that. All right. There's a third thing, the reward of the righteous, verse 3. The reward of the righteous. What is this? This is a huge point here. Because when you walk in the ways of God and you follow His path, did you know there's rewards? How many like rewards? A few of you. Boy. How many like rewards? Yeah, okay, I think a few of you do. All right. There's rewards for walking in God's path, following His Word. The first one is, you'll be like a tree planted by the streams of water. Now, what does that speak of? That speaks of provision. You can write in provision there. It speaks of provision. That even in the drought, even in the dry times, the tree that is planted by the streams of water is still going to have green leaves. It's still going to be productive. It's still going to produce because it's planted by the Word of God, the streams of water. It speaks of provision. And in this world, there's going to be times there's going to be good times in our nation, there's going to be difficult times in our nation. Times of plenty, times that it's going to be lean. But you know what? God has promised to provide for us in all those times. I think of Elijah in 1 Kings 17. Israel was going through a time of famine, but God provided for him. In fact, he even had room service. Did you know that? Elijah would be there. He was hanging out in this private, desolate place, and he had room service. These crows would fly in, these ravens. They just brought him jerky and bread. It's pretty cool. I don't know where they got it from, but brought him jerky and bread. And Elijah was fed for. He was provided for. I don't know what God's going to have to do to provide for you, but he can even call on nature to provide for your needs. Amen? The second thing is productivity. The tree is it is productive. It produces its fruit in season. You know what? God wants us to serve him, but he also wants us to be productive. And he was pretty hard on some of the religious people. He said, you know what? You got green leaves, but you're not producing any figs. And Jesus says, you know what? If it doesn't produce figs, he was willing to chop it down, or he cursed it. He actually cursed one fig tree, right? And it died. John the Baptist says, hey, the axe is already at the tree. Either you repent and become productive and fruitful, or are you going to be chopped down? Those are some pretty harsh words. But see, God has called us to be productive as a Christian. What does productivity look like for you and I? Okay? If you go like this, are you going to start growing oranges, bananas, apples? Probably not. But he wants you to produce fruit. In other words, that you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Patience? Ooh, that's a hard one, isn't it? Right? Fruit of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. When was the last time you prophesied or had a word of knowledge? Discernment. Those are the gifts of the Spirit. That's fruit. That's productivity in your life. When was the last time you shared your story, what Christ has done in your life with somebody that doesn't know Christ? When was the last time? That is productivity. That is fruit that God desires to bring forth in our lives. Amen? It won't happen if you're just doing it on your own, but it will happen if you're connected to the vine. Isn't that what Scripture says? John chapter 15. Okay? If you're not connected to him, you're not going to produce. But if you're connected to him, we are the vine. He is the vine. We are the branches. There we go. Okay. The last one is prosperity. Now, when I was in high school, there was the prosperity movement, and that kind of went its way. There's some good things in that. There were some bad things. Prosperity, I think what I came out of that, though, is prosperity, and for me, kind of had this kind of like not the best meaning. Prosperity is a biblical term, folks. Okay? What do I mean by that? Prosperity means that God is going to remove the roadblocks out of your way. He's going to prosper you. He's going to have his favor upon your life. How many want God's favor upon your life? Now, if you go to God and say, hey, God, I want a new Cadillac, you know what? If that's what you need to get the job done for Christ, then I believe that God's going to provide a new Cadillac, okay? I think in most cases, it's just, God, I need a working car, right? A vehicle that runs that won't break down. I believe God hears those prayers. Productivity and prosperity means that God is going to go before us. And so God prospered the people of Israel when they went into the promised land. He gave them favor. The enemies they were able to defeat, they were able to settle there. He allowed them to have children, to have farms, and he had his blessing upon them as long as they walked in his ways. Prosperity means that God is going to go before you and prepare a way. Amen? How many want to be prosperous in that way? Amen. I do. I want God's favor to go with me. Point number four, the demise of the wicked. What does he say here? Not so with the wicked. They don't get to prosper. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. Chaff. It won't be long before the combines are going in the fields. In fact, up in South Dakota, they're already taking off the wheat and the barley. So the combine goes by, all the kernels stay in the combine. What happens to the chaff? It goes out the back, right? It disintegrates, blows away. For the Hebrew people, the Jewish people in Israel, they would thresh their grain at night. So they didn't have combines. They'd take a sickle, they would cut it, they'd bring it to the threshing floor. There they'd beat it, and at night they'd beat it with this winnowing fork and stuff. But then at night, there was usually a cool breeze in Israel. And so they would take that winnowing fork and they would toss the grain up into the air. Okay? What would happen to the chaff? But the wheat, the barley, would fall back to the ground because it had weight, it had substance. See, a righteous person has weight and substance to their life because they are walking with God. The wicked, there's no substance there because they don't have any walk with God. So when the storms of life come along, the winds come along, they're gone. But the righteous, there's weight there. And they stay with God. The righteous are blown away with judgment. What's the final conclusion? Final conclusion is this. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Most believers want to be under the blessing of God. How many want to be under the blessing of God? And God has given us a way that we can invoke the presence and the blessing of God over our life. If we walk in His ways and meditate on His word, we don't walk in the way of the wicked or is their counsel or stand with them, but we walk in God's way. He has promised to provide us contentment, His presence, productivity, provision, prosperity, and He's promised to go before us. Amen? And when we apply this to children going back to school, it's not as a safe an environment as at home. At home, you can control things a little bit more. At school, you can't control things as much. You can't control the kid that they're standing next to that is using all sorts of words that's expanding their vocabulary in a way you probably don't like or saying things. You can't control those things, but you can pray, right? You can pray the protection over their life. I know my mom prayed for me. There's a lot of things that God spared my life from and watched over me and protected me. So we want to close this final time with prayer, and we're going to pray just for the different age groups. And I think for prayer, just could we all stand for that? We might have to stand for a few minutes. I don't know how long people are going to pray. But I just want us to have this attitude of prayer this morning. I'm going to have Amy come first. And so we got our different people. We got Amy, I think you guys just come up here so we can just have a smooth transition. Amy is going to pray for our preschoolers. Andy's going to pray for our children. Jay's going to pray for our youth. Tessa's going to pray for our college students. By the way, Paul, it's good to have you here. You're here someplace, or he was here. Maybe he had to go to football practice. And then I'm going to pray for our teachers and support staff. Should we have people come forward? All right. So, group at a time. So we need our preschoolers to come forward at this time, if they can. Parents, you can come with them. Keep going. Just talk.
Can you hear? There we go. So, you know, we look at the little ones and we just think how cute they are. We forget how much they are learning about God and how the course of their life even is set right now. So we're going to pray for Mary and for Chloe and for Madeline. They are all going to preschool this year. So join me in prayer, all right? Dear Jesus, I thank you for these precious girls. God, I thank you that you have given them families who love them and who are training them in the way of the Lord. Father, I just pray that you would open their minds to your Holy Spirit. God, that they might not recognize what's happening, but that your Holy Spirit would be moving in their lives and in their hearts. Lord, I pray that your Spirit and your angels would protect them from the things around them that would want to spoil what you've placed within them. Father, I just pray that they would grow up to love you with all of their heart, that they would share your love with their friends. God, that you would just begin to build within them, even at a young age, a strength and a love for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, if you're a kid, come on up. I know you guys are all kids, but not everybody, just the younger kids. K through fifth grade. K through fifth. K through fifth. Awesome. And parents, if you guys want to come along too, you're more than welcome to. I want parents, you guys, if you guys have a kid up here, come on, join us too. Come and join us here because I want I want you guys to be up here too. Yeah, come up here, and you guys can be with your kids. Cool. All right. Okay, there she is. Okay. Oh, we got everybody. All right. And if you guys just want to extend your hands and just agree in prayer, it says where two or more are gathered, he's there. But then when we agree, God says that he'll do it. So let's just pray and believe God will work in their lives. So, God, we just thank you, Lord, God, that you have built a church, God, that desires family. We thank you, Father, that that's your heart, God, that you desire a family, Jesus. And, God, I just lift up each of every single one of these kids. God, I pray that you would continue to equip the parents. God, you continue to build them up and, God, train their kids in a way that they should go. And that way would be to you, Jesus, God, in every area of their lives. God, I pray that these kids would walk out of church, that they would walk out of their houses equipped and on fire to know you, Jesus, and, God, to make you known to their friends, to their all their neighbors. God, I pray that they would not be afraid. But just like Joshua, God, that they would not be afraid or dismayed, but God, they would know that you are with them, God, that you go out before them, God, that you will speak through them, God, that you will do miracles through them, Jesus. And God, I just pray, God, that you would continue to show your heart and your love to them. God, I pray that they would know you at a young age, that they'd experience your love at a young age, and they would go and do that in their schools. And God, I pray that your presence, your Holy Spirit, would be an outpouring in the schools. And God, I just pray that everyone would come to know who you are. God, I pray, I bind up any fear, God, of expressing your name. God, I pray that that would be bind up and cast out in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that your peace would go with us. Your peace would be in the families. Your peace would be in the homes. That even though when the storm crashes over, God, that your kids will be righteous because of what you did on that cross, Jesus. And God, I pray that they would grow closer and closer in their relationship with you, Heavenly Father. And God, I just pray that you would give them the words to speak to their friends and they would not be afraid to share that love that you so freely gave to all of us, God. God, we thank you. God, we're in agreement with you. God, help us develop more and more of our relationship with you. In Jesus' holy, precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.
All right, where are the high school students at now? Junior high and high school, I forget. All right. I think Raph took off, didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you guys sit in front over here? If the parents want to come up also so we can pray, stand up there. So we can. All right. Wow. This is a larger group than I was expecting. Wow. All right. I better see you guys on Wednesday night. Not just here. Huh? This is a great group. All right. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come into your presence today, Lord God. We just ask that you are with these students, Lord God, especially as they start school next week, Lord God. I just pray that not only that you protect their minds and their hearts, Lord God, but you protect them physically as they step through those doors, Lord God. I pray that they become strong, Lord God, and just continue to look after you, Lord God, and just to reach out to you when problems arise in their lives, Lord God. And I just pray that they become that light in the darkness in that school, Lord God. May they become that ripple effect that touches those lives that need you in their lives, Lord God. And I just ask, Lord God, that anytime they face any type of problems in their lives, Lord, that they reach out to you, Lord. And that's what I ask, Lord, that we become that light in the darkness in each every day of the school year, Lord God. So we ask for protection in their hearts and their minds. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, that's right. There's Tessa.
It works too. All right, college students. Future or current? There we go.
I want to stay with
you. Yes.
Okay, that's fine. Totally.
Okay. You ready? All right. Dear Lord, I praise you for how you've created us, God, as human beings with minds that can ponder, that can imagine, Lord, that you created us to delight in you, God. And our college students get this opportunity, Lord, and I just pray as they enter those classrooms, Lord, that they just open their hearts to you, Lord, that you've allowed them to go on this journey to explore, to discover, Lord. Just to know you in ways that, and love you in ways that they may never have imagined, Lord. And I just pray that as they do this, Lord, that you put mentors in their path, Lord, that will guide them just as Jesus did his disciples, God. That together they will grow in you, Lord, that they'll see you in ways that they never knew possible. And also, Lord, that you build them, help them to know who they are in you, Lord, that you refine their strengths and their skills, that they become ninjas for you, Lord, that they just become so aware of how you've created them, Lord, and open that path for them, Lord, that they can walk down it. And God, I pray that you give them courage to do that, to take chances for you, and that you refine them into the people of God that you've created them to be, Lord. We love you, Lord, I just can't wait to see what you do in these young people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, and the last group here is if you're a teacher, if you are a para, if you are working in the school system, yeah, college, high school, come on up. Come on up. Jill is in the nursery, yes. Huh? No, it's fine. All right. Yes. And we got Jill that's working at the Norris School as a para. So just lift up those that are in the school system. And I'm going to even pray for the parents, too, because for our preschoolers. But even just we need wisdom. Amen? Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for our schools. And I thank you for all the people we have here, Lord, that are involved in our schools with our teachers, with our paras, working in the cafeteria, Lord. They're serving in some way, Father. We just pray for wisdom there. And Lord God, we know that there's some things that that they cannot say, but Lord, there's their life that they can live. And our actions speak so much louder than our words, Father. And we just pray for the presence of Christ to be upon their lives, Lord God. And we just pray that you'd go before them, grant them favor with students of all ages, Father, and I just pray that you would go before them, strengthen them, grant them wisdom as they teach, not only just whether it's writing, reading, but just through their lifestyle and what it means to live a good life and to be a good citizen of our nation, Lord God. And we just pray for your presence to be upon their life, go before them. And I just pray for each parent that is here, Lord God. You've entrusted us with the gift of raising up our children. And Father, help us not to delegate that to other things, Lord God, that it is our priority first and foremost to teach and to raise up our children in the ways of the Lord. And Father, I pray you just grant us the wisdom and the intentionality to do that with all of our heart. And Lord, we give you the thanks and the praise. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. The way that God blesses. As you go through this week, would you say a prayer? I think most of the schools are starting up this week that are represented by our church, whether it's Crete, Wilbur, Norris, Lincoln. Does Lincoln start up this week? Yeah, tomorrow. So I think pretty much everybody's on that same schedule. Pray for all those that are involved. Amen. Father, go with us this week. Let your glory and your presence go with us. We are salt and light in our world, and people are watching us, and we just pray that your presence and your glory radiates through our lives. We ask this in your precious and holy name. Amen. Praise God. Shake a hand this morning and tell that person to walk in the way that God blesses. They're going to play some music as we go here.